Thought for today. I think life. That's a short one, isn't it? I think life. I think life. What does it mean to think life? What does it mean when we say, I think life? Does it mean that we think about life as to be, to exist, to be? Does it mean that we think of life as something to the life of a creature, the life of an animal, the life of man, the life of the earth? What does it mean to say, I think life? Well, we have spent a great deal of our time as human beings thinking about death. We have spent so much of our time thinking about death, we sometimes wonder why we do that. Now, what is death? Death is the cessation of life. At least that's how we define it. But death is really just a going to sleep. It is really just a putting away for a time the atoms, the vibrations of a substance. If a body is alive, we say that it is active and it is moving and it is breathing, it is pulsating, but yet, is that the truth? We look at an atom and we study how it's created, and we see the atom with its protons and neutrons and electrons, and we see them all whirling around in such great, great speed. Unimaginable speed. We cannot even view that speed. It's so brilliant and so fast. And we are made up of an infinite number of atoms, not just thousands, but millions, trillions, billions, zillions, you know, an infinite number that we don't even have in our vocabulary yet. We certainly don't understand what it means, what a billionaire is. Has he ever counted his money? Have we ever counted the atoms in our body? And each atom is alive. Now, when something leaves the body, and the body is no longer a tool for that something, then the body returns to its original purity and integrity. It returns to dust. It returns to atoms, which it is, but it's now undifferentiated atoms. Atoms that do not have a so to speak, a purpose or form. It's an undifferentiated pile of matter. And this matter just sits there, so to speak, floats around in the universe with no purpose until some purpose comes along for it to coalesce into a form, into a snake, a bird, a rock, a tree, a globe, galaxy, whatever it may be. But that's not the life of it. That's the action of energy. Because all existence is energy. But there's something greater than that energy. And something that is greater than that energy, that's who we are. We're not the intelligence. Because intelligence means it is a pre-drawn thought of how something is going to exist. Life is not that. Intelligence exists as an essence, as an is. And we use a little or a lot of it depending upon our choice. But life transcends even that. Life is the causation of all that is. Life is the reality of all that is. It goes far beyond anything that can be conceived of. When life leaves a substance, we sometimes say it's the ectoplasm leaving protoplasm, going off into the infinite. And that's not true either. when this energy leaves, when this essence leaves, it's not an ectoplasm. It's not something that can be seen. We think we can see it. We have seen the ectoplasm leaving a living body many times. But is that its reality? Is that the life of that body? No. The life of the body transcends that. It transcends all that we know, all that we can visualize, all that we can realize. Now, if we were to say life and God are synonymous, then that's interesting. If we'd say life and absolute are synonymous, that's interesting too. But even that begs a question. It begs a reality. What is absolute? What is God? What is it? We have no idea what these things are. We have no idea what God is and what absolute is. We have no idea what the infinite, the allness, the isness is. Beyond our understanding. But we do have an understanding of what life is, even though we seem to think we don't. Life is not defined as we define the phrase I'm going to give you, but life is in a more beautiful way than we can ever conceive it. Life is, let's say, unconditional love. And yet, unconditional love does not begin to cover what life is. But life is in the direction of unconditional love. Life is in the direction of eternal beingness, the eternal essence. Life is, if you like, God, absolute, but life transcends even that. Because God and absolute are considered by our thinking as being something knowable, but life is unknowable. You say there's something that's unknowable, and we are God, and we don't know what life is? Yes, that's true. It's not because you cannot know it. It's because you think it's unknowable. And because you think it's unknowable, you cannot know it. Now, if it is knowable, and we only think it is unknowable, then what is life? Well, I think that's something that we'll ponder a great deal to come with some sort of a relative wording for what life is. But for me, life is a purity of spirit. Life is all these are relative words, but the image will come through to you, I'm sure. Life is the gentleness of all. Life is the consistency. Life is the believability. Life is the caringness, and yet caring for nothing. The beingness, yet being nothing. Life is the allness. Now, I know that the things that I'm saying and have said, and perhaps will say, do nothing more than to confuse you as to what I believe life is, not what you believe life is, because you have an idea in your own consciousness of what life is, if you've ever thought about it, and everyone, I'm sure, has thought about it. Life is that intangible something that makes us feel that everything that we experience is a great joy. Life doesn't need a baby's giggle to make it fulfilled. But in a baby's giggle, life is fulfilled. Life doesn't need a human being or a puppy dog or anything that's living to express itself. But in all those things, life is expressed. Not as its activity, not as its energy, but as its isness, if you wish. Because when the child is dead, for instance, without apparent life, you still love that child. You love that body. When a child is sleeping, you love that child. When a child is awake, you love that child. When that child is a young person, you love that child. When it's a grown person, you love that child. When it's an old person, you love that child. You see, that is what life is about. Life is about this lovability, this feeling of great joy, this feeling of great peace, this feeling of great oneness. And don't ever try to describe life, because you can see the difficulty I'm having in trying to put it into words for you. Just enjoy life. Enjoy life as you look into the eyes of your puppy dog, and your puppy dog wiggles his tail and says, "You're great." Enjoy life as you see a breeze floating by, and you say to yourself, "The breeze is warm," and the breeze is warm. Or you say to yourself, "The breeze is brisk and invigorating," and the breeze is brisk and invigorating. The same breeze that one person walking along says it is warm, the next person says it's invigorating, and they're both walking together, touched by the same breeze. But they're not touched by the same understanding of life. Each is enjoying life as their own desire to enjoy life is. This is an exciting adventure. This is an exciting experience for all of us, because we think that when a body dies, life leaves the body. Life never leaves anything. Life is always in everything, whether we call it dead or alive. Life is always there. Life is always expressing itself in a beautiful, dynamic, wonderful, forceful way. Life is always there. Now, do we want that life? Do we enjoy that life? Are we worthy of that life? Do we believe in that life? Can we define that life? And the answer to all those things is no. It just is. It takes no worthiness, no believing in it. It takes no experiencing of it, no appreciating of it. It just is. Now, where are you in the scope of understanding life? I think life. Where are you in the scope of thinking about life? Are you in the scope of thinking about life as something that is limited? Something that can be removed? We say a person killed another person, they took their life away. They didn't take their life away. Their life continues eternally, immortally. What did they do? They took their body away. You see, when death comes, it should be more, we take our cloak and put it aside. We take our body away. And you see, when you say you take your body away, it becomes far less threatening than when you say they take their life away. Because no one can take the life of another. We have said this many times before. No one can take the life of another. We can take the body away. We can take the cloak away. Somebody can steal your clothing, but they cannot steal your life. Someone can steal your body, but they cannot steal your life. Your life is so transcendent, beyond anything that we know or think about, so wonderfully, magnificently simple, and yet we make it infinitely profound with our confusion of words. What is life to you? What is life to any of us? Life is how we feel about life, how we feel about existence. That's life. Well, it's a step. You will never know life. You will be life. You will never touch life. You will exist as life. You will never understand life. But life is all you are. Can you conceive that? Can you understand that? Think about that. because that's a very precious and a very wonderful thing, something that is magnificent beyond words. And now, let us consider another thought. Let us consider our direction in beingness. What is your direction in beingness? What, where are you going? Where are you coming from? My goodness, we really are touching some very elemental things here. Where are we going? Where have we come from? What's our purpose? Who are we? Well, these two are insignificant questions. Insignificant? My goodness, the theologians and philosophers have pondered these questions for years. That's right. And they're insignificant. Why are they insignificant? Well, number one, it doesn't matter where we came from. Number two, it doesn't matter where we're going. Number three, it doesn't matter who we are. None of these things are of any consequence. The only thing that is of any consequence is to do one thing, to live in the now, to exist in the now, to look at the world we created about us from the background that we have. Background? Oh, we have a background. Yes, we have attitudes. We have morals. We have conditions upon which we base our life. And these morals, attitudes, and conditions are things that are important to us. It's the integrity we've grown up with. And it's the limits that we put on ourselves. We say we should always tell the truth. But what is the truth? We say we should always fulfill whatever we have promised to do. What is it we've promised to do? In our minds and hearts, perhaps we promise one thing, but the world thinks we promised another thing. What is it that we promise to do? So let's just go to the simplicity of who and what we are. Let's just look. We have one purpose in life, and that's to be ourselves and have fun. Now, that's not some esoteric or immortal cause and effect purpose that makes us feel that, wow, we're really on the trail of something great. We should be on the trail of some magical drug that's going to cure diseases. We should be on the trail of understanding the infinite cosmos or the epistemology of the world. We should understand. Who says? Who says? You know what you're most happy doing? You're most happy eating a dish of ice cream. You're most happy holding a little baby in your arms and having that little baby just be so content. You're most happy when a cat comes and rubs against your leg and makes you feel just like you're wanted, even though you know the cat in 2 seconds later is going to be gone doing whatever it wants to do. You're most happy when you can dive into a pool of wonderful warm water and just merge with it and feel one as the water. And another time, you're most happy diving in a cold or cool pool and feeling that shock for a moment and then mellowing and feeling one with the cool pool. You're most happy when you're being yourself and having fun. Now, how do you be yourself and have fun? What are the things that are being yourself and having fun? What are the things that are important to you? What are those things? Well, those things are just the little things in the now that you're doing that make life rewarding and fulfilling. If I say to you, well done, that's a job well done, I'm proud of you. Inside you feel a tickle and you feel, hey, I'm glad he recognized that, I'm glad. You didn't need my praise. You knew you had done a job well done. You didn't need my approval. You didn't need you are your own approval. But when you are doing things as you consider them right, then the world approves too. You don't need it, but the world approves too, because you're being yourself and having fun. When we are ourself and having fun in the now, everybody seems to understand. Sometimes they don't, but everybody seems to understand. Some people say, why are you eating 6 dishes of ice cream? Don't you know that it's not going to be good for you? Hey, hush. I eat 6 dishes of ice cream and I know that it's good for me. I do not have a stomach ache. I do not have cramps in my stomach because of all that cold stuff I put down. No way. And you don't. But if you doubt yourself for a moment, you will. And that's your choice too. Of being yourself and having fun. You can be yourself and have fun by creating people around you who say, oh my gosh, you've eaten so much ice cream. You're going to have a sick stomach. You're going to barf. You're going to lose it all. It's terrible. But you see, being yourself and having fun does not include that. Does not include that. What do so many people do who eat more ice cream than they should? They have a smile on their face and they lay down and take a nap. They're very content because they don't know they should have a stomachache. People who eat tremendous meals and just sort of jam it down their throats, they just cuddle up under a tree like the Mexican siesta and relax and are at peace, and they don't feel bad. By the time they wake up, most of the food is digested and they're ready for a dinner or another meal or whatever it is. But be yourself and have fun, whatever it is that makes you happy. You can be sure that it will take from none and hurt none, but be a blessing to you. You can be sure of that. You don't have to say, but if I be myself and have fun, I might do something that is wrong. How can you ever do anything that's wrong if you believe in yourself? How can you ever do something that's wrong if you love yourself? Be yourself and have fun. How could anything that is fun be wrong? You say, well, sometimes doing a bad thing might be fun. Is it really fun? Is anything that you consider bad, or that the world even considers bad, fun? Yeah, you might say, walking down the street naked, it'd be a lot of fun, but the thing is, the people wouldn't appreciate it. Well, walking down the street would not be fun if you're naked. It would not be fun at all, because you would think that the people would not appreciate it. No. If you walk down the street naked because you appreciate it, then you would be invisible for the rest of the world who did not appreciate it. No one would even see you. You know, oh, Herb, that's difficult. Well, look, this kid going to school up at Berkeley, he went to school every day for months with no clothes on, into all the classes, and he sat around in the coffee shops and stuff and talked to people, and finally, they put a stop to it because you can't do that. That's not acceptable. But it was acceptable for months. Nobody paid any attention to him. They just said, that's him. That's the way he is. No big deal. Never gave it a thought. The police were not alerted to it. The school officials were not alerted to it. Until somebody, probably the fellow himself, thought, gee, I'm getting away with it. And the moment he thought, I'm getting away with it, he stopped getting away with it, because then he thought he was doing something wrong. Up until that time, he did not think he was doing anything wrong. He was being himself and having fun. Now, how many people go to school wearing garish clothing, clothing that is outlandish, their hair colored purple and orange and blue, and they get away with it. And, you know, the rest of the kids in school, they see them, and they say, oh, you got blue hair today. Poof. Oh, I see. You painted your face today. Oh, you're wearing strange clothing. And after they said it, thought it, poof, it's gone. They give it no power. The person doing it thinks that they're being very chic, but they don't think they're doing something wrong. They're being themselves and having fun, and they're enjoying it. But you see, when we do the things right now that delight us, we have a great time in life. But when we do things that we think are for show off to others, or rebelling. Anytime we rebel over anything, we're going to get caught. Not because we're bad or terrible people, but because we're rebelling. Never rebel. Do what you like to do. Be yourself and have fun. Don't go against anything. I tell people so often, don't be against the denuding of the earth of all of its lovely trees and green matter. For every tree taken down, plant another tree or two. Instead of fighting a country's right to use their land as they wish, let's go about improving the land that we have. Look at the great West here of the United States. Vacant land, millions and billions of acres of nothing. Nothing at all. And if we were to irrigate that land, or if we would just say, the rain is now coming down. The rain is now covering that land. Oh, the people who own that land would say, wow, I got a good deal here. I thought I bought this arid land, and now here it is, becoming fruitful. And that can happen. It's all a matter of having fun and being yourself. I told you of the Montana farmer who had a big strip of land, maybe about 400 or 500 acres, or 5,000 acres, probably more like it. And he said, I would like it to be fruitful. And he said, I now have rain on my property every day. Not a lot, but a rain. And so his land began to grow. The crops began to grow. The things he planted began to grow. And his neighbors looked at him and said, how come your land's growing and ours isn't? This is a true story. How come your land's growing and ours isn't? And he said, well, I just prayed for rain for my property, and I prayed that my crops would grow. Well, why didn't you pray for ours too? He says, you can do that if you wish. But I don't know how. Well, I'll teach you. But the thing is, be yourself and have fun. This guy raised the crops. He had beautiful, wonderful crops from his land. And he created the rain. He created the rain in the warm season so the crops would be nurtured and grow beautifully. He did what he wanted to do. He was himself having fun. Now, as we live in the now, being ourselves and having fun, we do not care about the rest of the world. We bless them. We love them. We see them harmonious. We see them being themselves and having fun. But we create our world as beautiful as we can. And our world includes anything we see. So if we see buku acres in the western United States, we say, I see you now verdant and green, covered with crops, covered with trees and forests. So it is. If we look at the hillsides, the mountainsides here around the campus, and we say, I see you a beautiful verdant forest, covered with lovely trees, filled with wonderful species of creatures that are a delight to the eye and the ear, it is done. Be yourself and have fun. That's what life is, being ourself and having fun. Now, are you ready for that? I'm ready for it. I'm ready for it. But are you willing to take responsibility for what you see? Can you look out around here now and see this verdant forest? Or do you look out around here and see it a normal mountainside forest with normal mountainside plants in the high desert here? You see whatever you want. If you have the ability to envision your dream, you can be yourself and have fun. Then it manifests. But if you can't envision your dream, if just because the illusion is there contrary to your dream, and you believe it, then so it is for you. Today, begin to dream. Be yourself and have fun. Realize whatever you look upon is your world, your personal world, and see it as God, as good, and very good, for so it is. I love you.